Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations. We're going to introduce Steve Jordahl here in just a second, but also joining us, co-host Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, tell our listeners about your website, what the website is, and what people can find there that Keep Believing Ministries provides.
Thanks, Ed. Let me invite our listeners to come to keepbelieving.com and join us on an Advent journey. We're about halfway through the journey leading starting December 1st up to Christmas Day. And this year we're doing a series called Christmas Promises, where each day during the month of December leading up to Christmas, we're thinking about a promise that has come true because Christ was born. And we've done the promise of forgiveness of sins and the promise of a new family. And today we did the promise of hope and all the way up to the promise of Emmanuel and the promise of a Savior. And Ed, if folks will come to keepbelieving.com, at the top of the page there's a big banner and it says Christmas Promises. When you click on that, it takes you to a website where you can download a free, completely free ebook for Kindle, for Nook. It's in PDF. And every morning on Facebook at about 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time, I'm doing a live devotional based on what's in Christmas Promises for that day. So it's a lot of fun. Thousands of people have joined us. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and click on the banner and join us as we journey through during this Advent season, Christmas Promises.
Well, folks, check it out at keepbelieving.com. And Ray is an excellent Bible teacher, an excellent writer. You will not be sorry. You'll be blessed. Check it out at keepbelieving.com. All right, Steve Jordahl, I want to welcome you. We're going to come back to Walker here in just a second. Steve Jordahl is a reporter and news anchor for American Family News, heard regularly here on Today's Issues.
Good
morning slash good afternoon.
Good morning good slash good afternoon slash good evening if you're listening in Russia,
yes,
as we said yesterday.
That's true. Ooh, colluding with Russians. I see what you did there. All right, Walker, we have some good news on the pro-life front.
Yeah, that's right. Many of you have heard what's called Mission Preborn. Mission Preborn is a ministry that provides ultrasounds, free ultrasounds, to young ladies and really ladies of any age who are pregnant and just don't have the money to go to a doctor, but they want to see their child. And so Preborn, Mission Preborn and American Family Radio partnered up together with the goal of raising funds to provide the ultrasounds. And some good news: through the efforts of our donors and through God's work, this year alone in 2018, Mission Preborn, in partnership with AFR, they've provided over 25,000 ultrasounds, and that resulted in over 25,000 babies being saved that could have possibly been killed through abortion. But the mothers, by being able to see their child in the womb with the ultrasound, the free ultrasound, they chose to give birth to their child. And so that's just a major encouragement and a victory on the pro-life front. And Ed and I were talking during the break that there's various ways to fight for what we believe in and our values, and one of them is to win the hearts and minds of people that maybe don't see like we do. And this is one prime example of that. So praise God for that victory.
Amen. And, you know, the pro-life issue sometimes gets pushed to the back burner, it seems like, because most of the contention in our country, much of it at least, is over the issues of human sexuality and marriage and those kinds of things. And that's where all the fires seem to be burning. But this is still an issue of critical importance to American Family Association, American Family Radio, our listeners. The pro-life issue is supremely important. And so we rejoice that these babies were saved. Thank all of you who donated to that, and we will continue to do more of those kind of things in the year to come.
So, amen.
All right, Steve, you're up. What kind of news you got for us?
Let's start. There's a hearing going on right now in the Capitol, in the House. It's one of the House Technology Committees is talking with Sundar Pichai, who is the CEO of Google. And it's going like all political hearings go. The Republicans are asking one line of questions. The Democrats are asking a whole completely different line of questions. So, in effect, you're saving time. It's like having two hearings in one. It's a beautiful thing. So the Democrats are, of course, they're wanting to know what's going on with data protection and with Russian collusion and technology. And these are actually things that Republicans want to know as well. But Republicans are asking about whether or not there's an anti-conservative bias up on with Google products. And several of them cited examples of that where they were looking through news feeds on Google and they couldn't find a positive article about a conservative issue until page three or four or whatever. And then up speaks Congressman Ira Cohen from Tennessee, Democrat, who had just a little bit of a different take on this, and this is what he had to say.
Like I put my name in here, Rep. Steve Cohen, I punch news. This weekend I was on MSNBC four times, and yet the first thing that comes up is the Daily Caller, not exactly a liberal, but I guess well-known group. Then Roll Call, then Breitbart News, then the Memphis Business Journal, then Breitbart News, then Breitbart. So it looks like you are overly using conservative news organizations on your news. And I'd like you to look into overuse of conservative news organizations to put on liberal people's news on Google. And if you'd let me know about that, I'd appreciate it.
So, you know.
Wow, that sly guy there. I see what he did.
That's clever. Yeah,
that's clever.
The other thing that's being really kind of funny about this, if you watch the hearing, there's some guy, he's not making any noise, not making any kind of commotion, but he's sitting like three rows behind Pachai, and every time they put the camera on Pachai, he sticks his face out. He is dressed like the Monopoly guy. He's got a white fake mustache on, a bowler hat, and a monocle, and he just sits there.
For real.
He's making some kind of statement that I'm not aware of, but yes.
The original goal of these search engines was to basically provide a simple way for users to find what they're looking for on the World Wide Web through the search using keywords.
Right.
And how you get your stuff to the top is by getting more people to visit your sites. That was the original intent of the search engines.
Right.
If your site gets more views than everybody else's sites, then of course you're going to be at the top. Right. Or if the keywords match a certain site more than others. And so, but that's the fair end of it, how it was began. But what they're getting into now is, and what that Democrat basically just said in front of the whole world is, I want Google to start messing with the algorithms to where it favors things unfairly, favors things that aren't necessarily viewed more, but just because they're Democrats, they get more views.
There's two ways to look at this, Walker, and one of them is from a news perspective. It's not necessarily, this is like truth. Truth isn't determined by majority vote. What's important in the news isn't always what's most clicked on or what's most viewed. I mean, sometimes as a news person, I make a decision to bring, say, a financial story about the economy, about the number of jobs added. You know, not a lot of people are going to go after that information, but I think it's important. And as a news person, I want to put that out there somewhere in my newscast so that it's – because it's important. If boring but important is the way the Week used to put it, boring but important. So on one hand, Google is not a news producer, so it is legitimate for them to rank pages by clicks, but don't the thought of a Google news feed is kind of anathema to me anyway. But the other thing is that they're doing is that, and in fact, I have a story here. Leaked emails from Google show that they tried to get Breitbart banned from Google AdSense. Google AdSense is one of these things that you can do on Facebook too, where you can pay to promote a particular story and or a particular site. And this is a way to get you can have your pop-up show up on somebody's ad feed. If you're searching on Google and you see something on the sidebar, it might be Breitbart. If Breitbart pays to have their ad put there. But they crowdsourced, which is they just got a bunch of examples from users of where people thought that Breitbart was using hate speech, and they got them banned from this Google AdSense. Now, Breitbart doesn't traffic in hate speech. Some people have said it is alt-right or maybe prone to some alt-right type things, but really not even that, I don't think, is very accurate, but certainly not violence-producing or hate speech. But because Google employees didn't like it, they went out and found the evidence, just like the Mueller probe, they went out and found evidence to apply it to some kind of a thing so they could get their way. And that's what Sergey Brin is the founder, but that's what Sundar Pichai is answering to today up on the Hill.
And I take it, Steve, he's denying all ideological bias.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, and he might be. So, he is saying that they don't do anything from a political perspective. The question is brought up, for example, an email that went out from their diversity chairman there that said the day after the election, we didn't quite get enough Hispanic votes out in certain states. And the question to Pichai was, so you're actually getting votes out now. You're taking people to the polls is what they were doing,
right,
picking them up. Oh, no, we would never do that. Well, what about this? Well, he didn't quite have an answer for
it. The executives at Google are just as in on this as the lower engineers who are sending these email chains, because there was a video that actually Tucker Carlson put out from a Google employee meeting over in Silicon Valley where there was, you know, a couple hundred Google employees in a stadium-like or theater-like setting, and then the executives were on the stage, and they were all kind of talking back and forth and having a session about what they can do different to make the 2020 different than the 2016 outcome. And they were getting into how, you know, we gotta inform voters more, and the reason Trump got elected is because we have a lot of low-information voters. They're talking about us. They're talking about middle America. Some of them would argue the way we get a more informed voter is to bump Breitbart and Daily Caller and these people down, and we bump more New York Times, MSNBC up to the top, because after all, they're the more trustworthy news source. So that's what we got to watch out for.
Hey, I don't want to spend the whole... Go ahead, Ray.
I want to ask Steve, yep. Isn't this the equivalent of when they brought Zuckerberg in and grilled him before Congress?
It is.
And, I mean, they're doing... Really... What power does Congress have except, I mean, I think it's very good to get these guys on the hot seat and, you know, let the nation, let the world hear what they have to say. But what legal power does the government have over a private company?
And that's a good question, Ray. Ostensibly none. They can do whatever they want with their information. But here's where they do run into some legal problems. First of all, if they are allowing, knowingly or unknowingly, allowing their platform to be used by a foreign agent to influence American politics, that is something that the government must address. If, for example, if they are big enough and a huge enough platform, I think the case can be made that they are a free speech platform, and that they should be somehow held to a free speech standard. If you have Facebook with 2 billion users and they really kind of crowd if they are monopolizing the atmosphere, the space, just like Ma Bell was broken up by the government, at some point they're going to have to look at these social media companies and say, you just have too much power. Even if it's not a government body, we can't have you monopolizing.
Right. And Ma Bell reference to Bell Telephone decades ago. All right, let's move along to another subject, Steve. What else you got?
How about some good news?
Forget it. This is a good news free zone. No, go ahead.
A federal judge in Massachusetts has ruled that a law in Massachusetts that says it says you cannot record somebody without their knowledge is unconstitutional. This was aimed at, there's two cases that they molded together. One of those cases was our friends over at James O'Keefe at Project Veritas, who has done a lot of investigation into Planned Parenthood and the body parts. Sale of aborted baby body parts.
They do undercover video.
Undercover video, but they also do undercover video of other things. And they had certain projects that they were going to do in Massachusetts that a law in Massachusetts kept them from doing. They wanted to look at landlords renting unsafe apartments to college students. They wanted to have government officials ascertain their position on sanctuary cities. They wanted to protest management activities by both government officials and private individuals related to Antifa. So they're looking at government entities and how are they doing their job. And this court, this judge, says that they should be allowed to go undercover with their video and expose what is going on behind the scenes with government officials.
Well, that is good news, because Project Veritas in other states, and we should probably just FYI for our listeners, you should always check the laws of your state, because mm-hmm. some states, like Mississippi, for example, where our headquarters for the radio network are and for the ministry, Mississippi is, a single-party state. Only yeah. one party has to know that a conversation is being recorded. But in some states, both parties have to. Otherwise, it's a legal wiretap, and you can get in all sorts of trouble. So it is important for these undercover investigative agencies and news outlets to be able to have the constitutional protection of doing undercover investigations.
And keep in mind, what is at stake here are those two-party – this is a – Massachusetts is a two-party state, and they're saying that that law is unconstitutional.
Right.
It's a federal case. If it makes it high enough, it could wipe out every two-party state, make it so James O'Keefe or whoever, me as a journalist who wants to go maybe find out what's going on in local or federal government, can go in and make a recording or find some kind of wiretap for the bait. I can investigate without them knowing that they're being investigated. As a journalist, that's an important tool.
In 60 Minutes, used to do this kind of thing all the time.
Yeah.
Some of the ABC News, they'd have these undercover investigations. They'd go in, I guess they were in a ball cap or whatever with a camera in it. And then they would, I remember the famous, remember the Food Lion story where they were looking at the meat processing part of it. It was ABC or somebody went in there. I don't know how that ever came out, but that was an undercover video investigation.
The other one I remember is when they went undercover, I think a local TV station went undercover to find out which mechanics were actually doing fair work, and they found a whole bunch of mechanics that when you went in, they pricked the hose here and there to
yeah.
make a leak and make a whole bunch of other charges. And they found one that, because they went in with some wire that was just unhooked from the carburetor, you just need to plug it back in. 9 out of 10 of these mechanics would find hundreds of dollars worth of things that they had to fix in order to plug that wire back in. One guy said, oh no, it's just the wire here, I'll plug it back in, you're good to go. How much do I owe you? Oh, nothing. And he was inundated with business from then on out.
So just, being honest paid.
That's right. It did pay.
All right. You got another story?
Yeah,
we're gonna let our listeners know you have some sort of
I do
at the last two or three minutes. I don't have no idea what it is.
No, but it's important. It's
okay.
Very important things. So
you're in charge of the clock here from here
okay.
on out.
Let me just talk. There's this is actually kind of serious. This is the producer in Hollywood behind the you remember the show Glee?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. There's
never seen it, but I've heard
I didn't either. And there's now a show called Pose that's on some cable outlet that's transgender friendly. Anyway, his name is Ryan Murphy, and he is declaring war on politicians that are family type politicians or that are not on with the cause. Brent, I'm wondering if we could play cut 8.
Why don't we consider ever targeting the people who are causing the problem here? The homophobes, the trans naysayers, and the small, restricted, and dangerous minds who are causing so many young people to needlessly hate themselves and doubt themselves in our country, when what they should be receiving from us is love and support and understanding. It was the midterms this year that gave me hope. One after one, anti-LGBTQ candidates who made hate speech and ideology part of their legacy fell away. Over 20 anti-LGBTQ right-wing politicians and their horrifying views were gone in a day. Dana Rohrabacher, Mia Love, Jason Lewis, Pete Sessions, gone. Bigots, all of them. I want these hateful and wrong politicians to go and to stop polluting our moral and ethical ether.
He's going to be putting small, some money.
Small, restricted, and dangerous minds. That's what we are.
So he was speaking at a gathering of the Trevor Organization, which is an organization that tries to reach out to gay youth to keep them from committing suicide because their suicide numbers are up. And I would say that we also would want to avoid suicide or anybody from self-harming.
That's
not what we're saying here. What we're saying here, what I believe, and Ray, tell me if you agree with me on this, is that the problem is not that they are not affirmed. The problem is that they are embracing a godless worldview.
Yeah, just take 60 seconds,
yeah.
Ray.
Just quick.
Well, what we can say is they're just being misled by people whose motives, who can say, only God can judge. And we want to come along and say, there's a better way. If you want hope for a better life, it's not down this road.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not the haters, and we are not the bigots. We're only saying what Christians have said for 2,000 years, and that if you follow God's way, there's blessing there. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get the message out every way we can.
There you go.
Amen.
So if you traffic and if you like to watch some of those shows, your money and your effort is going towards things that are not going to help biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you guys have understood this controversy that's going around over some Christmas songs, right?
Yes.
And lately, "Baby, It's Cold Outside,"
right,
is a sexist song. We don't ask for anybody's permission. We're influencing women. It's just an awful song. I was rummaging around in the Hollywood bunker that used to be Dean Martin's room. He has an attic there that I had access to. And I found a note and a recording. You see, Dean Martin saw the Me Too movement coming. Did you know that? He did. And he actually recorded another version of "Baby, It's Cold Outside" for today. And it's just now coming to light. I'd like to have you listen to a little bit of this song.
I really can't stay.
Okay, you're free to go.
I've got to go away.
Understood, no means no.
This evening has been
super appropriate.
So
but I do understand consent.
My mom will start to worry.
Definitely text her right
and
now.
Father will be pacing the floor.
Here's the code and there is the
so
door.
Really, I'd better scurry.
I am gonna stand over
now
here.
Maybe just a half a drink
you
more.
You are in control. This
the neighbors
thing.
Might think.
So,
invite them over if you like.
So there you go. He says you gotta be up with the times. And Dean was a very forward thinking person there, Ray.
Hey. Well, he really let his voice go to pot.
Yes.
There.
Yes. To quote an old line from a debate, I knew Dean Martin, and that was no Dean Martin. Was that you, by the way?
No, it was not.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah,
good.
It's a viral video going around, and I meant to bring the name of the person that's doing it, but go look it up. If you look it up, it's just a good, fun spoof on that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that song was about a man trying to convince his woman friend to let him stay a little bit longer. It's cold outside.
Or she could stay a little bit longer. And it was a cute. In fact, Dean Martin's daughter was on Fox the other day singing the original version of the song, saying she doesn't understand the uproar. It's a flirty song, and a lot of people agree with her. But we by the way, want to make sure that you understand that we don't approve of any kind of coercion.
Right, absolutely.
But
right. And frankly, we don't approve of any kind of flirting either.
No, flirting is bad.
Flirting is bad? Oh, no.
Unless you are married. No, why did I open up that can of worms?
Yeah.
I know, and as we're running out of time.
Address your emails to Ed.
Yeah. All right, folks, that is it for today's issues. 2 weeks out from Christmas. Tomorrow it'll be 2 weeks minus 1 day. Thank you for listening. More great programming directly ahead. Tim Wildman will be probably back on the show in the captain's chair tomorrow. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Bye for now.